Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message. Good morning, Cross Point, and thank you so much for joining us online this morning as we sing and celebrate our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to start with a question that if you were honest with yourself this morning, how's your heart doing? How has this past week been? Because I realize that sometimes in the midst of stress, it can begin to constrict and squeeze us. And then what we begin to see is what's coming out in this time may be stress. Our words may be a bit sharper, a bit more stinging to those around us, that our impatience is heightened. It may cause anger or frustration in others. It may cause sadness and grief or fear or anxiety. And so what are you experiencing in this time of a global pandemic that can create a stress that is squeezing us? It reminds me of an illustration by author and pastor Paul Tripp, where he talks about a cup that's filled with water that's sitting on the counter. And if you take that cup and you shake it, what's going to happen? All the water is going to spill out over the counter. And you might say, well, that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't had shaken the cup. If you hadn't had agitated it, then nothing would have come out. But what's also true is that shaking that cup simply revealed what was inside it. And see, the same thing can be said of our hearts, that the circumstances that we're enduring, that agitation that we are experiencing by this external stress, is exposing and revealing what is inside our hearts. And for many of us, maybe we don't like what we're seeing. We're seeing the anger and the fear and the frustration come out that we can no longer keep quiet because it's being shaken to the surface. And this becomes an opportunity for God to deal with those things in our life. Because maybe the people around you, those closest with you, your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, even strangers at the store may have been a recipient of what has spilled out of your heart this week. The passage that we're going to look at today from 2 Corinthians is going to speak to the healing that we need in our heart and the healing in our relationships, both with God and with one another. We've been studying together through the book of 2 Corinthians, and today we're in the back half of chapter 5. Now, this was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that he helped start, but tensions had arisen. There was conflict between him and the church. Visits had happened. Letters had preceded what we read here. That relationship had become broken. And Paul is going to point them to the gospel and saying, in light of the gospel, this is what reconciliation looks like. This is what we mean by reconciliation. So if you will, if you have your Bible or in the app, you can select Bible there. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at verses 11 through 21. So let me read this. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is God's word. Now, when my oldest daughter was a toddler, she loved having books read to her over and over again, to the point where I would sit down and read a book, and her, as soon as we finished, her reaction was, read it again, read it again. Now, me being the kind and loving father who would never exasperate his children, just don't ask them about that. I would read through the book, and I kind of got tired of reading the same book, so then I would read the book backwards to the front. Word by word, line by line, I read the entire book backwards, tried to give tone and inflection to the whole chaotic sense that it was. And she would giggle and she would laugh, and then I would read it back one more time forward. So I share that this morning because for whatever reason, as I read through this passage and was preparing of how to talk through it, I want to actually go through the passage backwards. Not word by word, and so it's all crazy, but thought by thought, verse by verse, working our way backwards, because Paul is building an argument. And what I want to do is, in deconstructing that, I think it's going to give us clarity this morning. Or you may just say, maybe I've been trapped inside by myself for way too long, and this is a crazy idea. But my prayer is that it brings clarity for us this morning. So let's start at the end, in verse 21. This verse is known as the Great Exchange by the German reformer Martin Luther. This great exchange that's being talked about, for our sake, he being God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, the thing is, in my mind, I see things visually. I take abstract concepts and I begin to see pictures and images and shapes and put them together to give understanding. And so what I want to do is overlay this video with something that I've put together as I talk through this, in hopes that it gives greater clarity, because this verse is of critical importance. This was the pinnacle of the argument that Paul is making, and so I want to begin here in what it means. And so this is the great exchange, that God created man and woman in his image. They were perfect and without fault, no sin, no error whatsoever. God said it was very good. And mankind lived in perfect relationship with God. There was no separation. They lived in perfect relationship with God and with one another. This is how God intended it to be. But you see, when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they thought maybe God was holding out. Maybe he didn't have their best interest in mind. And so they listened to the serpent and they disobeyed God's direct command, and sin entered the world. But sin didn't just cover the world like a blanket. It infused in every fiber of creation, in every aspect of who we are. that our motives, our intentions, our hearts became saturated and corrupted by sin. And this sin brought about a separation between mankind and his creator, God. Because God is perfect and we are not. In the darkness, the shadow of sin that has indwelt every single person in creation cannot exist in the perfect, pure light of who God is. And this also brought about a separation between mankind. Our relationships with one another have been broken as a result of sin. Now, an incomplete gospel would say this, and some of us may be familiar with just this part. You may have heard that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And if that is all that is said, that Jesus took our sins, the reality is that is not a great exchange. That has happened, but it is not the great exchange that is being talked about here in this verse. This is a part of the gospel, but it is not the full gospel. So let's go back to the beginning. We are sinners. You, me, sinners, separated from a perfect and holy God. In the great exchange, what verse 21 is saying is this: Jesus, yes, took our sin and gave us his righteousness. This is the great exchange that we see, that Jesus died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, that penalty being the wrath of God against sin. This is what was paid for at the cross. Sin was dealt with at the cross. Christ was buried. But if the story ended here, we would still be without hope. We would still be separated from God. That our hope would only be in this life, that we are declared right, but upon death we would remain separated from God with no hope. But when Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, he conquered death. That broken relationship between us and God has been reconciled by the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of Jesus. This is the great exchange. This is the gospel. This is what we see then in verse 21. And so let's work backwards from there. At the end of verse 20, look at what it says. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is the call for each and every one of us, that we implore you on account of Christ. Look at what he's done. Look at our position, separated from God because of sin, and look to Christ and what he has done. And we implore you, be reconciled to God. Repent of your sin and trust on Jesus. This is the gospel, and it is by grace through faith in Christ. See, it's by grace that because we realize we're not just covered in sin, but we are saturated in sin, that it doesn't matter the good things we've done or the bad, that we repent of both the wicked things we have done that God has forbidden, but we also repent of the good things that we think may have earned God's favor. And we say, I know all of that was insufficient. It is only in Christ alone. It is by faith then that we trust on Jesus, that we look to him because he paid for our sin on the cross. He covers us with his righteousness. He rose from the dead, and my hope is in Christ. There is no other name in heaven or on earth by which we can be saved except on the name of Jesus. This is what Paul's saying. Because of the gospel, we implore you, be reconciled to God. And what about those who are reconciled to God? Look at then verse 20. It's going to then begin to speak to those who follow Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, making his appeal through us. This is the reality. If you have trusted in Jesus, if you say, I have been reconciled, this is true of me, then then the reality is you are an ambassador of Christ. You no longer just represent yourself, your family name. You represent the living God, the King of Kings. You represent His rule, His reign, His reputation, His kingdom. You represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your actions, in your speech. This is your job. This is now your identity, that you are an ambassador for Christ, and He is making His appeal through you. Now you might be like, what does that mean? What does it mean that I have this job to be an ambassador? Look then at what it says in verse 18. All of this is from God. So if you're like, well, I didn't sign up for this. I that's your job, right, Pastor? Like you're the one who stands up and speaks, not me. But this is saying, no, if you have been reconciled to God, you are an ambassador for Christ. He is at work in and through you. And because God has reconciled you to Himself, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. You are a recipient of reconciliation, and now you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. But then you might ask, well, what is that ministry of reconciliation? Right? Like, what am I supposed to do? What does it mean to be an ambassador? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at what it says in verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. What we see is that God is at work today, now reconciling a lost world to Himself. That is how God is at work among your family, among your neighbors, among your friends. God is at work every moment of every day. God is reconciling people to Himself for His glory and their joy as they repent of their sins and place their faith and trust on Jesus. God is at work. This is what He's doing, and it's from God. He's reconciling the world to Himself, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's inviting us to be part of what He's doing in the world, to proclaim this message of reconciliation. The message is what you heard in that beginning part, that we are sinners, God is holy, and in that great exchange, He not only covers us in His righteousness, He removes all aspects of sin from our life and covers and gives us a new identity in Christ because of what He's done. This is the reconciliation Jesus has brought, and this is now the ministry that He's called all of us into to proclaim to others that God is at work, and we implore you, be reconciled to God. But then you might say, but you know, you just don't know. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my story. You don't know the brokenness. You don't know the sin that I've wallowed in. God can't use me. You speak. I just need to be a recipient of mercy. But I can't carry this message. I can't share this with others. How am I supposed to do that? Look at what it then says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so just there, if you have been reconciled to God, and that is where you stand, if that is true, you are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Do you hear that? Who you were is no longer. Who you are is now in Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come in who you are in Christ. But what about who I was before Christ? What about that person? What about the things I've done? If we just go back again in verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. See, we don't consider you from who you used to be. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. We have who we were and who we are now in Christ. And this old thing, this thing in the flesh, we don't regard people according to the flesh because it says, See, we used to consider Christ just according to the flesh. He was a physical man. He was a carpenter. But some did not see that he was actually the Son of God, that he was God in human flesh, meant and having come to reconcile the world to himself. Right? But that's who he was. And that's where we place our hearts. And when we trust on Jesus, that person of who we were is no longer. They have been put to death. And who we are is in Christ. That is who we are as a new creation. That you are new. You are redeemed. You are reconciled. But you might say, but okay, that's nice and all, but the things that still spill out of my heart, the brokenness, the sin, the way I've hurt people, not just in the past, but this week. Like, how do I reconcile that in my own heart? Look at verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. See, the reality is our hearts as a new creation is being controlled by God. Now, sometimes we give in to who we used to be. But this is saying, but that person died. See, one died for all. When Christ died on the cross, that person who we were was crucified with Christ. They died. In who you are now as a new creation, that old person no longer lives, but the life you live now in this body is for the glory of God, that he is controlling your hearts. And so the idea is, it's almost as if this old person was killed, died on the cross with Christ. But we carry around that corpse on our back and we say, yeah, this is who I am. Like, it's terrible, I know. And we live under this condemnation when Christ is saying, I died. That person of who you were was crucified with me, was put to death. And who you are now is a new creation. Rest in me. Live in me. Allow your heart to be controlled by me. This is the love of God. This is why Jesus lives. To those who might no longer live for themselves, but for him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that we might live now and forevermore in his grace and in his mercy. And then working backwards still in verse 13, this reality that sometimes it's hard, right? Like sometimes we struggle and we fret and there's challenges and we're beside ourselves and we're trying and sometimes we're victorious and sometimes we're not. But in all of this, we're doing it for the honor of Jesus and the joy of others. This is what I see in Paul's heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. And if we are in our right mind, it's for you. Like when we're beside ourselves, when we're failing, when we're struggling, we're going to do that while pressing in to God, trusting in the reconciliation in the renewal and the redemption that we have in Christ, not in our own strength, but in his. And we're going to give our lives sacrificially for the joy of others. And we're not going to be talking about ourselves. If you look at verse 12, we're not trying to commend ourselves and say, oh, look what I've done. Look at who I've become, as if we had anything to do with that. It's saying, no, we're not going to commend ourselves to you again. Like other people, they want to look at the external and look at what they've accomplished. And Paul's saying, look, I'm not here to, so you can just boast about the external. If you want to boast about something in us, boast about what God has done internally. I'll give you something to boast about. I'm a new creation. God put to death who I was, and I am new. My identity is in Christ, and I had nothing to do with it. I simply repented and placed my faith and trust in Jesus, and he did the work. He covered me with his righteousness. Anything good you see in my life is a result of God in Christ alone. And so in verse 11, It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. This is it's the whole hope. This is where we see it brought full circle. The fear of the Lord. Be reconciled to God. This is the gospel. This is in the fear of, like, if I'm left to myself, I am a sinner separated from God. But in the fear of the Lord, I recognize that God is perfect and I can do nothing to overcome that barrier and separation except to place my faith and trust in Jesus and experience the reality of that great exchange when He pays the debt for my sin and covers me in His righteousness. My faith and hope is in Christ. And so, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We live as ambassadors for Christ. We carry this message of reconciliation and we proclaim it to anyone who will listen. This is the message this morning. And so, in conclusion, I implore you, plead with you, be reconciled to God. I pray that through this message, in any part of what was said or not said, or things that God may have brought to your mind as I was speaking, that you would place your faith and trust in Jesus. Trust in Him. Repent of your sins and of your own righteousness and turn to Jesus. Trust in Him and be saved. If that's you this morning, maybe you've never heard the gospel communicated in totality. Maybe you've heard it in pieces, or maybe you've never heard it at all. My prayer is that God would lead many of you to place your faith and trust in Jesus today. And if that is you, would you take a moment and let us know? You can simply raise your hand. There's going to be a button that appears in the platform. No one else is going to see your name, but it is going to open up a new tab for you to be able to respond to us, to let us know that God is at work in your life, that you are one who would say, I am one of the many who God is reconciling to Himself. Let that be a joy for us as well to celebrate with you. For those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, maybe that's right in this moment. Maybe that's been in the past year or decades prior. I pray that this message is a reminder that you are a new creation. You have been crucified with Christ and you no longer live, but it is Christ who is alive and at work inside your heart. He has changed your heart. Do not carry the corpse of an identity of who you once were, bearing under the weight of condemnation for which Christ has already died. You are a new creation in Christ. That is your identity. You are a new creation. And as such, you are called to be an ambassador. You have been entrusted with this message of reconciliation. You are a recipient of this reconciliation to God. And now you are a minister of this reconciliation to others, to proclaim the gospel to others, to live for the glory of Christ and the joy of others, that they may find their hope and rest in Jesus. And so, in conclusion, we've talked about this earlier in the year, if you've been tracking along with us, but who are you praying for? We talked about this back in January, about what it means to be the church. Are you still praying for them? I want this message to be an opportunity, to be a reminder, to say, who are those people? Do I need to add people to that list now? How are they doing in this season? That we are walking in dependence upon God, realizing that He is the one who is at work reconciling the world to Himself, right? But then we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. We have been entrusted with this message. And so how are you demonstrating this message and how are you declaring this message to those for whom you're praying? What does that look like? I want you to think of very practical ways. And I actually want to encourage you to write that in the comments. That to share this with others, do not put people's names. You can simply put initials that I am praying for JL and KM and whatever this is. Don't put their names there. But I do want you to take a step in action that's declared outward to others about who you feel God is leading you to pray for? And then how might you reach out? Share ideas together now in the comments about what this might look like. Maybe you're going to give them a phone call, a text message right after this message. Hey, how are you doing? How can I be praying for you in this season? Simply starting there. What does this look like? There are numerous ideas, and I'm not going to have them all, but my hope is that as we share this together, as we interact around this topic, that your heart will be cultivated and motivated to continue to share. You will be inspired with new ways that you can faithfully live out what it means to be an ambassador for Christ this week. And so with Thanksgiving in our heart, with this commission to go and to proclaim and to be a herald of this reconciliation that God has given us, let's pray. Lord, I thank you. You have reconciled us to yourself. When we were broken and separated and unable to save ourselves, Lord, the incredible, just hard to even imagine that you would take on human flesh, that the God who spoke and created the world would take on human flesh, would suffer and die in my place, to take my sin, and beyond that you would cover me in your righteousness, that when you look at me, you would not see my faults, you would not see my errors, you would not see all my failures, but you would see the perfection of Jesus, that you would call me new. Lord, what can we say but thank you? We've done nothing. You have done it all, and our hearts are overflowing, not with fear, not with anger, not with sadness. Our hearts are overflowing with gratitude, with renewal, with hope, because of who you are and what you've done. And so, God, we look to you. We trust in you. Continue to control our hearts. Help us when we want to give in to who we used to be. Lord, let us continue to just lay that at the foot of the cross, knowing that you have put to death who we were. And now we get to walk in the joy of the newness of life that you have provided for us in Christ. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Crosspoint Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.